Welcome to Political Hitman on Israel News Talk Radio. Want to connect with Howie? Email him at howie@israelnewstalkradio.com. Now here's your host, Howie Silberger.
And welcome to Political Hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. My name is Howie Silberger, and Israel is at war. Now, it's not the first time Israel's been at war. It's not the first time this month Israel's been at war. Israel's been at war for a couple of years already. And at war with Gaza, at war with Iran, it's not a surprise. And anyone who claims that this is a surprise, that this war is a surprise, should have your head examined. And I mean that in the nicest way possible, of course. I don't mean to insult people. But really, there's no way to even describe how naive you have to be to have not seen this war coming. Years ago, Bibi Netanyahu stood in the UN and told the world that Iran was a major threat, that Iran's threat to annihilate the Jews of Israel was very real, and that Iran would be reaching a point where they would have a nuclear weapon. And if the world didn't step in, Israel would have to take care of their national defense. They would have to take care of protecting their citizens, protecting their people. And they were very clear about this. And Bibi Netanyahu didn't mince words back then. And the world ignored him. In fact, not only did they ignore him, the president of the United States at the time, I was going to say Osama bin Laden, but actually it was Barack Obama. And the president of the United States at the time, Barack Obama, he decided that he was going to enter an agreement with Iran, a nuclear agreement with Iran. It was going to supply Iran with billions of dollars, and he sent $1 billion in cash to the Iranian government, which was on the brink of bankruptcy. He bailed him out. And how did that help Israel? Well, it didn't. And Israel is one of America's closest allies in the Middle East, and it didn't help them at all. And now Iran was close to a nuclear weapon, close to developing a nuclear weapon, with their avowed goal of destroying the State of Israel and killing everybody in it. So how can anybody be surprised that there's a war, that Israel preemptively struck Iran to destroy its nuclear capability, to knock its military back to the Stone Age, in order to protect the 9 million people living in Israel? But Iran retaliated. Hundreds of missiles are now flying into Israel. Israelis are living in their bomb shelters yet again. And the fires that these missiles are creating in Haifa, in Tel Aviv, in Yerushalayim, are just as hot as the fires in the ovens of Auschwitz. The idea that another enemy has risen less than 100 years after the last one to destroy the Jewish people with an avowed plot to destroy the Jewish people. This is their goal, is the destruction of Judaism and the Jewish people. It is scary to start with, but there's a difference. The difference now is that the State of Israel exists, and that the Israeli Defense Force is never going to allow an avowed enemy of the Jewish people to destroy the Jewish people. It's going to be a lot harder to commit mass genocide against the Jews when the Jews have self-determination and have their own armies to defend themselves. Jews around the world are being attacked, and they have been attacked since October 7th. It's quite fascinating that in the 2 years since October 7th, Jews around the world have been attacked relentlessly. One has to wonder, why is that? Does the State of Israel represent worldwide Jewry, or does worldwide Jewry represent the State of Israel? Many would say, no, the State of Israel is its own entity, and worldwide Jewry are their own entity. We're not Israelis. People who live in North America, people who live in Europe aren't Israelis. So why are they being attacked over something that's happening in Israel? Something's happening thousands and thousands of miles away from them. Why do Jewish institutions across the world have to spend millions and millions of dollars on security over events that are happening far, far away from them. It doesn't make any sense. There's no logical sense. When something's happening between the Tamils and the Sri Lankans, you don't see the Sri Lankan community in North America having to go and defend themselves, having to go and spend billions of dollars in security in order to protect their citizenship. That doesn't happen. When the Hutus and the Hitsis are fighting, you don't see any of them outside of their countries having to defend themselves. When a country's at war, normally it's the politicians and the representatives of that country that have to worry, not people who share the same religion as the people who live in that country. So why is it that there's a difference when it comes to Jews? The answer is simple. In my mind, it's really simple. It's a very clear and straightforward answer. In my mind, the answer is that this has nothing to do with Israel. The attacks on Jews around the world have nothing to do with Israel. Israel is a great, it's a great reason to attack Jews, but it's not the reason that Jews are being attacked. And I'll make the argument on this show, I'll make the argument that the wars in Israel have nothing to do with the state of Israel, per se. Let me explain what I'm talking about. The idea that a Jewish entity lives in the Middle East is repulsive to Muslims. I know it's a blanket statement, and I know I'll have a bunch of lefties saying, you can't say that about all Muslims, just the radical Muslims. It's not true. The Quran is very clear when it says that anytime land is a caliphate, which the state of Israel was, then that land is Islamic land forever, and there could never be any other government that's non-Islamic running a state on that land. If there is, they are infidels and they have to be destroyed. But the Quran goes even further and pushes Muslims to attack Jews anywhere they live. In fact, the exact passage from the Quran that calls on Muslims to go and kill Jews wherever they are is the first or second, or I think it's the first and second, and third and fourth and fifth and tenth item on Hamas's charter. They quote that if you see a Jew behind a rock, don't worry, the rock will call out, there's a Jew behind me, and you go and slaughter him. The war in the Middle East between Israel and everyone, because literally everybody was against Israel at one point or another in the Middle East, it's not a land war. If it was a land war, if this was about land, the war would have been settled a long, long time ago. It's a religious war. And the sooner everybody realizes it's a religious war, the sooner everybody recognizes that this is not a land war, it's a religious war, the better off the world will be. Because the only way to solve a religious war historically, in any time in history, the only way to resolve a religious war is to fight to the death. Now, I know saying it out loud sounds really strange, it sounds archaic, but that's Middle Eastern philosophy. It's archaic. They're living in the 18th and 17th century. And we have to understand that the mentality and the ideas that are driving the wars in the Middle East, particularly the wars against Israel, are rooted in 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th century ideologies. They're kind of a mishmash of all of them. We have to realize that. And we have to realize that this is a religious war. The Jews have a claim to the land through a religious document. The Muslims have a claim to the land through their religious document. Both documents clash. They both want the same piece of land. This is a religious war. But the idea, just the concept of that, is very hard for a lot of people to swallow. A lot of people are very upset when I point this out. A lot of people believe that land for peace will achieve peace, but we saw that it doesn't. It's a proven failure. The Oslo Accords are a proven failure. Evacuating Gaza, taking every man, woman, child, body, every fire hydrant, every dog, every building out of Gaza. Didn't achieve peace. That was a land for peace deal. That didn't achieve peace. It achieved more war. It achieved rockets falling on the heads of Israelis for 20 years. A war crime, every single rocket, and a world silence as Jews, Jewish population, it was indiscriminately attacked. Innocent civilians indiscriminately attacked by rocket fire. The same thing they're accusing Israel of doing to the Arabs in Gaza. What's happening to southern Israel for 20 years and not a peep from the world. Now Iran is doing the same thing, indiscriminately launching rockets into civilian populations, killing civilians with ballistic missiles. And not a peep from the United Nations, not a peep from the rest of the world. Silence. Just goes to show that Jewish life means nothing. That Jewish blood means nothing. If this were any other population where rockets were indiscriminately falling onto civilians' heads, the world would be in an outrage. They'd be yelling, the Geneva Convention is now being violated. The Geneva Convention, which says that you're not allowed dropping rockets on the heads of civilians. If there's no military target, you can't drop a rocket. Or a bomb. It's clear in the Geneva Convention. It's a war crime. But nobody's accusing the Iranians of war crime. South Africa isn't bringing the Iranian government to the ICC. The hypocrisy is unbelievable. But not surprising. Not shocking. We've seen it before. Unfortunately, we're living through it again. This hypocrisy has existed for years. World War II proved that the world didn't care about the Jews. Everybody knew what was going on. Nobody did a thing to stop it. The world couldn't care less. Annihilate the Jews, better off for the world, right? Today, with the idea and the idea floated around that we're only attacking Zionists, we're not attacking Jews. But wait a second, if that's true, then why are Jews around the world being attacked? And why are those attacks being coordinated through organizations that support Hamas? I don't understand why there's a call to globalize the Intifada if the fight is only in Israel. Why there's a call to gas the Jews if the fight is only in Israel? What about the Jews living outside of Israel? Shouldn't they be living in peace, in harmony in the countries they live in? Yet they're not. Every single week, every single day, there are rallies and protests by Hamas supporters yelling for the murder and the mass murder of Jews. And not Jews in Israel, just the mass murder of Jews in general. And everyone remains silent. There's not even a peep. Nobody even cares. And Jewish organizations are screaming and yelling, and they're the ones getting arrested. They go and they counter these protests, and the Jewish counter-protesters are the ones who are arrested. It's okay to yell in a Jew's face, globalize the Intifada, murder your people, but it's not okay for a Jew to fight back. In fact, it's horrific if a Jew fights back. A Jew gets arrested. And they say that Nazism died in Europe in the 1940s. It's not true at all. An inbred ideology like Nazism doesn't just go away. Two continents turned their backs on the Jewish people, turned Jews in, treated Jews as inhumane people, as inhumane entities, not even people, as subhuman. You think that philosophy disappears? You think it disappears in 5 years, 10 years, 100 years? That philosophy is alive and well. Just transferred. They just found a new way to market it. Hate the Jews is fine. As long as you say they're Zionists, it's okay to hate them. Kill the Zionists, it's fine. Globalize Intifada, oh, great. Free Palestine. Eat a watermelon, oh. You know, market it any way you want to market it. Jew hatred is Jew hatred. And I don't care how you want to sell it. It's mind-boggling that the world media has bought into this Jew hatred and has publicized it and given them the publicity and the exposure they need in order to continue with their vile hate. But here we are. We're here. We're suffering for it. And the fires of Auschwitz are still burning in Yerushalayim and in Tel Aviv and in Haifa. They've never stopped burning. And we're living proof that those fires are never going to burn us out. Jews are going to survive this. We're going to survive this. We're going to prevail. We're going to destroy the enemy, as we always have, with the help of God. And we will continue to exist as a people. And the state of Israel will continue to exist. They're not going to push us into the sea, and they're not going to kill us. But we will exist until the next enemy rises up. And that could be in 5 years, it could be in 10 years, it could be in 50 years or 100 years. And then we'll go through this whole process all over again. It's mind-blowing that in so many centuries, everything repeats itself, that history keeps repeating itself over and over and over again. Hate the Jews, hate the Jews, kill the Jews, kill the Jews. Hate the Jews, kill the Jews. Blood libel, blood libel, blood libel. Different formats, different ways. It's the way it is. The blood libels today are being spread by the mainstream media, who are lying through their teeth intentionally about things that happen in Israel, about things that the Israelis say, Israeli politicians say, about how the Jews of North America are connected to Israel. They are lying insensibly. And the world is eating it up, buying it as if it was gold, accepting it into their homes. And why, you ask? Because the underlying Jew hatred has always been there. We've always been hated people. There has never been a time in history where the Jews were loved in any country they were in. Which is why it's essential that Jews have the state of Israel and that we have the right and the power to live there. Why it's essential that we have a strong government with a strong army that's willing to defend Jews wherever they are. Because lacking that, Jews would be in big trouble. We would be annihilated. They tried to kill us once, they tried to kill us twice, they tried to kill us three times throughout the Jewish history. Genocides after genocide after genocide. The last one was the Nazis. But now here we go again. Tell me honestly, and think about this for a second before you could honestly answer this question. Do you really believe that the attacks of October 7th were an attempt to free Palestine, to liberate Gaza from Israeli oppression? Do you actually believe that? Think about it for a second. If you're one of those believers who believe that, you know, the Arabs are being oppressed, who believe that it's time for the Jews to stop oppressing the Arabs, it's time for the Israelis to stop oppressing the Arabs. Think about it for a second. Do you think the attacks of October 7th, the annihilation of multiple towns in southern Israel, the torture, rape, and murder, the burning alive of people, of babies, women, and children, the kidnapping and held hostage and raping of the people you held hostage, including young children? Do you think for a second that was an attempt to free Palestine or to free Gaza from Israeli oppression? If you do, I don't know. I don't know what world you live in. There was no way that attack was going to free Palestine or even do any damage politically to Gaza or to Israel, help Gaza in any way or destroy Israel in any way. It was just a provocation to start a war. It was a provocation to get the Israeli government to cross the Gazan border with their armies and fight Hamas. It was an attempt to kill Jews. Many of the people who were captured after October 7th said that if they weren't stopped, they would have continued all the way to Jerusalem. They would have kept going until they annihilated every single Jew in the country. This was a war. This was an attack. An attack of genocide, not an attack of freedom. And then we see idiots, the useful idiots that live in the world. People like Greta Thunberg, who I don't know what she was trying to do by getting on that boat. But who is always virtue signaling, saying, I stand with whatever the cause is. But the cause she never stands with is the Jews. She never complained. She never yelled. She never screamed. She never protested when rockets were indiscriminately falling on the heads of Jewish population of southern Israel. She never protested when the babies and the children of towns like Sderot were raised in bomb shelters and raised to understand that once that siren goes off, you have 5 seconds to get to a bomb shelter. She never complained at all when nurseries were bombed by Hamas, when houses were broken into and women were killed in front of their children, and children were killed in front of their parents. She never complained at all. On October 7th, when babies were burned and baked in front of their parents, and children were raped and murdered, not a complaint, not a word, not a UN condemnation, nothing. Not a peep from anyone. And now we're supposed to just sit back and allow Iran to come and try to destroy us? I don't understand. Let's go to the phones. Who's this?
This is Kevin.
Hi, Kevin. Welcome to the program.
Hi, I'd just like to talk about the Iran-Israel war.
Yeah. Do you think it's justified?
I think it's a lot of posturing on both sides. I just wish people would be honest with what's going on.
All right. How am I not honest?
Mainly that we want to get the United States involved. It's over Israel dominance. It's about the dominance of the region. And they're trying to say that Iran's a threat to the United States and Iran's going to have nuclear powers. They've been saying this for so long. I just wish people would be honest about what they want. It's about Israel dominance in the Middle East.
You think Israel's trying to dominate the Middle East? How do you get that? Let me understand this, because I don't understand what you're saying. Explain it to me, please.
Well, you look at the other countries, whether it be Syria, Libya, so on and so forth. That's what happens. They destabilize these countries and take out their leaders, divide and conquer, fund proxy wars, prop up.
Okay, I would agree with you that in the 70s and 80s and maybe even to the 90s it was the proxy wars, but I think after the fall of the Soviet Union, and Israel's independence, let's say from being a proxy, I think the attacks that Israel's endured since then, and the fighting they've endured since then has a lot more to do with a religious battle than a proxy war with the United States. I would agree that the earlier wars were proxy wars between U.S. and Russia, but I think after the fall of the Soviet Union, that kind of changed, don't you?
See, this is what I mean about being honest and with the deceptions and the... Just be honest, because everyone knows what's going on. Like, everybody can see it plain as day. Trump didn't want to go to war with Iran. He was telling Netanyahu, Israel, don't do that. But he went against his wishes and did it anyway. And now he wants us to continue and fight for Israel, supply Israel with weapons and bombs, so forth. So it's just a ongoing battle that's never going to be solved.
Well, of course, it's never going to be solved.
We put our foot down.
It's never going to be solved, but there has to be some kind of peaceful agreement. I can't say a resolution because this will never be resolved because the religions will never allow this to be resolved. But it has to be a peaceful agreement, a cooperation at least. Because I don't think any of these countries are going anywhere. So Israel's not going anywhere. Iran's not going anywhere. Iraq didn't go anywhere. Syria didn't go anywhere. Libya didn't go anywhere. Their leaders were overturned and they're still there, right? So I think some kind of peaceful coexistence has to exist.
And the thing with Iran is they want it's the ports. They got the entries, the sea entries to the north and the south. Very, very important demographic right there, important geography. If Israel can take control of that geography, they'll have complete control of the Middle East.
But nothing,
that's what
but
this is
the Prime Minister of Israel has declared that he has no intention of conquering Iran. He just wants a regime change there. So that's not going to say we want to decimate Israel. He was very clear on that. And Israel didn't conquer any of the other countries. Look, they could have walked into Syria once Assad was overthrown. They could have walked into Syria easily. Or they could have walked into Lebanon. They could have walked into to any of these places, even Gaza. They're not taking over Gaza either. They're just trying to clear out Hamas. They've already withdrawn troops from Gaza. So I'm not sure where this dominance comes from.
Don't you think it's already conquered? Because if it's not conquered, then it might as well be. It's weakened greatly, which is another form of conquering. I mean, you look at Assad. What's his name? Bashar.
Yeah.
He's gone. He was the mortal enemy to Israel.
But he was overthrown by his own people.
Look at Gaddafi. You look at Omar, what's his name? Gaddafi.
Yeah, he was overthrown by his people too. Oh, with the help of Americans. But he was murdered by his own people.
Because they were funding proxy war. They were funding rebels that attacked him. This is what they do. They fund proxy wars. They fund the rebels. They destabilize. This is divide and conquer. This has been going on for centuries. You look at the Bolshevik War in Russia. This is what they did. They pit people against each other, destabilize, divide and conquer. And people are waking up to it. They're waking up to the double standards. They're waking up to the hypocrisy. They're waking up to the deception, and basically the only thing, the rebuttal to that is anti-Semitism. And it's just... So
explain to me this. Let me ask you that. Since you brought up anti-Semitism, let me just ask you this question. So there's a war in the Middle East. Israel's fighting on two fronts now. What does that have to do with Jews in New York or Jews in Canada or Jews in the United States? Why are Jewish communities and Jews in particular being attacked across the world, in Europe, in the United States, in Canada? Why are they being attacked everywhere?
Because a lot of Jews throughout the Western world, they support this. You get to someone like Bill Ackman, they give a lot of money to it.
So let me understand this. So let me understand this.
But I don't. Let me tell you this.
But let me ask you a question. Let me ask you another question. I'm sorry. Let me ask you another question. So throughout centuries, people living in other places always supported one philosophy over another philosophy in whatever country they were affiliated with, or whatever country they supported, whatever country they had an affinity to. But that never really resulted in people being physically attacked and institutions being physically attacked on foreign soil. So I'm just curious why a synagogue in New York City could be firebombed and people could stand up at an opera house in Sydney, Australia and yell "Gaz the Jews" over something that's happening in Israel. What do Jews in Sydney, Australia or Jews in New York have to do with the war in the Middle East? I'm very confused by that.
Well, you look at all the innocent people in Gaza. They've been carpet bombed. They've been completely decimated. So, I mean, innocent children are being bombed and killed daily.
Okay, so whether that's true or not, and I could just, you know, the numbers are disputable, but anyway, forget about that. I won't even go there. What does that have to do with a Jew in New York or a Jew in Australia?
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't agree with innocent people being killed. Whether that be Jews, whether that be Muslims, whether it be Christians, nobody that is not inciting violence should be killed. Plain as day, but the problem is when you got some 2,000-year war going on, it's going to incite people. Sadly,
yeah, it's definitely going to incite people. But what does a Jew in North America have to do with what's going on in Israel? A Jew in North America has no affiliation to Israel whatsoever. They're American citizens. Why should they be attacked
right.
over something that's happening 2,000?
So why you keep talking about every day in Canada?
Oh, that's a good question too. Then why are Jews in Canada being attacked? So it's a very good question. Why are synagogues and Jewish institutions spending millions and millions of dollars beefing up security because there's ongoing threats to their institutions? What does a synagogue in Canada have to do with what's going on in Tel Aviv?
My guess is, that's the only way they can get back. That's the only way they feel like they can get even, so, or retaliate. They see what's going on in other countries. This is their way of those people, which I don't agree with, is
trying
to get revenge.
Then why weren't
that's what it looks like to me.
Then why weren't people who supported the Assad regime being attacked in North America or in Europe? Why weren't people who support the Houthis being attacked anywhere? Why is it only the Jewish people who allegedly support Israel? Some of the places being attacked in North America and Europe don't even support Israel. Why is it only the Jews that fall into this category? Why isn't everyone else into this category?
I mean, the Christians get attacked all the time. They get freaking ran over in Christmas parades. They get freaking attacked all the time. There's Christians being killed daily.
That's true, too. But they're not being killed because something else is happening 3,000 miles away or 5,000 miles away.
I mean, disagree. I think they're being killed because of so-called support. They feel like they're supporting it.
Okay. Okay. Well, entitled to our opinion. Thank you so much for calling. I do appreciate it.
We're going to agree to disagree there, but...
Yeah, for sure.
Appreciate having a conversation.
But thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. And please feel free to call back anytime. All right, so you know, I don't have to agree with all the callers. They don't have to agree with me. That's fine. It's good to have disagreements. You see, I'm happy that we live in an environment, at least here, where we could disagree with each other and not kill each other and not have to scream at each other and not yell death to whoever it is who's calling in or death to me. There have been so many instances, so many times, where people have not been able to express their opinion or have been stopped from expressing their opinion because somebody else disagreed with them. So I'm glad that we could agree to disagree and we can move on and we could continue to talk and continue to have this conversation. And if you don't agree with me, I honestly invite you to call in. Let's hash it out. Let's talk. Because talking is the only way that we should be able to resolve our issues and our problems outside of the physical violence that's happening in a war somewhere else. So if I have opinions on that, and you have opinions on that, and our opinions don't jive, we could hash it out. We could talk it out. But violence in areas where the people aren't involved in the actual war seems to me like a nutty thing. I don't understand it. I can't really understand why a synagogue would be attacked in New York over something that's happening in Tel Aviv. Why a Jew in Canada, in Toronto, or in Montreal would be attacked on the street. Why a man would be killed in Los Angeles at a pro-Israel rally where he's supporting Israel. He's entitled to his opinion. He's an American. He's entitled to his opinion. But he was murdered at a pro-Israel rally because he expressed an opinion that he supported Israel. Okay, you might disagree with him. You might be angry about what's going on there. But does it give you the right to kill him? Does it give you the right to commit violence against him? I don't think it does. Now, you could agree to disagree with me, and that's fine. But I think it's kind of psychotic. It's kind of crazy that Jews outside of Israel, that Jews who are not Israelis outside of Israel, have to suffer because of what's happening in Israel, whether the perception of what's happening in Israel, whether it's true or not, or what's actually happening there, whether it's true or not, because you really never know what's actually happening there. You can't trust the news. And unless you're there and see with your own eyes, you don't really know what's going on. Propaganda on all sides. So you never really know what's going on. But all I know is that the indiscriminate launching of missiles into a civilian population that has no military targets, you're just lobbing missiles into civilians. What I know is that's a violation of the Geneva Convention. That's a war crime. And what I know is that all these peaceniks and all these self-proclaimed peace now people should be screaming in outrage at the fact that bombs are being lobbed into civilian populations, and they're not. That I know for sure. And what I know is, and what makes me upset, is the fact that people, innocent people, are being put at jeopardy, are being put in jeopardy for no reason. Bombs are falling on their heads. You're not allowed targeting civilian populations. That's in the Geneva Convention. And every country that is at war right now in the Middle East signed the Geneva Convention. So I'm very confused by this. I'm very confused why the United Nations hasn't condemned the indiscriminate falling of bombs on civilian heads. and why they didn't for the last 20 years when Hamas was launching missiles into Israel. It seems like Israel's the only country in the world that could have its rights violated, could be questioned on whether it has a right to exist or not, could be condemned hundreds of thousands of times by everybody and anybody, including the United Nations and every country in the world. Who were the victims of a genocidal attack and suddenly became the villains. No other country in the world would suffer that fate. When America passed the Patriot Act, which stripped Americans of most of their basic human rights after 9/11, and then went on a rampage war against Iraq and Afghanistan and Libya, and wiped out the governments of Iraq, Iran, and Libya. The caller just kind of mentioned that. We touched on that. The world didn't say a word. The world allowed them to do it because the world understood that after a massive terror attack like 9/11, America had the right to defend themselves. Israel wasn't accorded that same understanding when it came to Gaza, when it came to Hamas, after a horrendous, horrific attack on October 7th, where if you measure the population and you look at the percentage of the population killed in the 9/11 attacks and the percentage of population killed in the October 7th attacks, you'll see that a larger percentage of the Israeli population was killed than the American population. And yet, Israel has been condemned from October 8th on. The hypocrisy is what bothers me. I'm totally outraged by the hypocrisy. Look, I'm not surprised that Iran's lobbing missiles into Israel. Israel attacked them. It was a surprise attack. Israel attacked Iran on Iranian soil. There was going to be retaliation. But the retaliation should have been targeted retaliation, not indiscriminate attacks on civilian populations. That's terrorism. If you want to retaliate against a government that attacked you, you attack government. You attack government installations. You attack the army. You attack the politicians, you attack the parliament. But lobbing indiscriminate missiles into civilian populations and killing random people? That's terrorism, but it's not a surprise from Iran. They're the main funders of terrorism around the world, continuously the main funders of terrorism around the world. So it doesn't shock me that they would choose a terror tactic in order to retaliate against a targeted attack on their military. Not shocking at all. And if you were shocked by it, well, read a little more and understand the region a little more. So what am I saying here? Where am I going with all this? What are we talking about? Essentially, what I'm saying is that I don't believe for a second that after World War II and the Geneva Convention after World War II, where it was agreed upon by the world that it would be unacceptable to attack civilians indiscriminately, after bombings of Dresden and London, it was decided that killing innocent civilians was not the way to fight a war. Wars had to be a little more civilized, and, you know, if you want to kill somebody, kill a soldier, don't kill a civilian. And they passed the Geneva Convention. And then the United Nations agreed, and they took in the Geneva Convention as one of their resolutions. And all the countries who are fighting now in the Middle East are members of the United Nations and should be following the United Nations and the Geneva Convention. And Israel, who attacked Iran, yes, it's true, they fired the first shot. After Iran threatened to annihilate them, they fired the first shot. But Israel firing the first shot against military installations and military targets, Iran has not claimed that Israel killed civilians. They killed the top military brass, military targets. Their retaliation of lobbing bombs indiscriminately into the civilian population of Israel is a war crime. The same way Hamas lobbing bombs into the civilian population is a war crime. And for that, they should be held accountable. And for that, everybody who has a heart and everybody who cares about the indiscriminate killing of innocents should be outraged that innocent Israelis have been killed by these kind of attacks. That's it. That's all I'm saying. All right, I'm Howie Silberger, Political Hitman. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you next time.